that we're going to go back this morning to the book of Genesis, and we'll continue on with our study in Genesis. We're going to do things a little bit differently this morning, so I want everybody to be prepared because we're going to pass out some scripture verses for folks to read. And if you'll, we'll start out in Genesis chapter 6. And what I want to do this morning is, you know, we talk a lot about the ark, and the ark is a picture of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the believer's refuge from judgment and separation, or you know, judgment from hell, and our eternal security, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. But we see a lot of similarities in the ark. In the ark in the Old Testament was a picture of what Jesus would do in the New Testament. And we're going to kind of just take a little bit of time here this morning and kind of go back and forth and look at some scriptures here. And so that everybody is ready, I'm going to give you some scripture verses. And then if I can get certain folks to look these up, and then I'll have you read them so that that I'm not doing all the reading and Cleo's not doing all the reading. And if someone would look up Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3 through verse number 4. And if you'll keep that spot, we'll start out there. And then if I get somebody to look up John chapter 10, and then we'll be looking at verse number 7, verse number 9, and then John chapter 14 and verse number 6. So if somebody could look that up, John chapter 10 verse number 7, verse number 9, and then John chapter 14, verse number 6. I'll give you another one. I've got some more, but this will get us started. Isaiah, someone else, if you'll look up Isaiah chapter 2, Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 2, and John 1, 4, and John 8, 12. And be ready to read those. And what we're going to do here is we're going to look at some things here. And I want to go from the Old Testament to the New Testament and show you the picture of how the ark is a picture of what of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, because from Genesis to Revelations, as we've talked about before, it has always been a gospel message. It's always been about the Messiah coming, and then in the New Testament, the Messiah in the Old Testament, it was the Messiah coming. In the New Testament, it was the Messiah was here. And again, salvation has been the same from Genesis to Revelations. You would be surprised how many people think that in the Old Testament, the way of salvation was by keeping the law of Moses. It was never about keeping the law. It was never about works. The people in the Old Testament didn't get saved one way, and the people in the New Testament, after the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, getting saved another way. Again, the difference between the two is in the Old Testament, they looked to the cross. In the New Testament, we look back to the cross. And so just so that we know that, and we're going to go ahead and I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into our study here. Father in heaven, we come to you in prayer this morning. We thank you for the opportunity that we have here to be in your house. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in our life. And Father, I just pray that you would help us to see this wonderful picture of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, Lord, in the ark, and all the things that were done there, all the things that were planned. Lord, I just pray that you would help us to always see that it was not a mistake. It was not a coincidence. But Lord, it was thought out and planned. Lord, even before you created the heavens and the earth. And Father, we just love and thank you for all that you're going to do here today. Lord, I pray for those that are not here with us this morning due to illness. Lord, I pray that you would just help them to feel better. Lord, I pray that you would just comfort them today. And Father, I pray for those that are still traveling and on their way here to church. Lord, I pray your will would be done. And Father, I pray that today here that we would see folks come to know you as Savior. Lord, I pray for the guests that will show up today. Lord, for our children's program, I pray that you would just move in a mighty way there as well. And Lord, we love you. We thank you for all that you're doing. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, as we look at things, well, I'm going to go back here to Genesis chapter 6. And verse number 14 through 16, what we see here is God himself, and God himself purposed and planned the ark even to the most detail. Now, in Genesis chapter 6 and verses number 14 through 16, the Bible says, as God gave the command to Noah, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within and without. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of the ark 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou fashion it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. Now again, as God gave the instructions to Noah to build the ark, as we would say, he wasn't beating around the bush. There wasn't something that Noah had to guess at. There was a purpose and a plan for every detail of the ark. And he gave it to Noah. And the picture of that in the New Testament of Jesus Christ is God himself purposed and planned the coming of Christ to save man even before the foundation of the earth. Who's got Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 4? Who's got that one? Anybody? You got that one, Brother Brett? Yeah, Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 4. If you'd read that for us, it'd be great.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
And what we see there, now there's some other verses I'll give you if you all want to write them down write them down, and you can look at them later. Along with that point, there's 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verses number 9 through 10, and then Titus chapter 1 verse number 2, and then 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 2. And well, see, I'm competing with the clock there. Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 through 10. And then Titus chapter 1, verse number 2. And then 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 2. And that'll further... If you look at those on your own and you study those out, what you'll see there is the picture of the ark and God's planning, and again planning the Lord Jesus Christ and what he come, and again before the foundation of the earth. And as we've talked about this before, God in his grace, and do we understand everything that he did and why he did it? No, we didn't, because I like to build things. I like to make things. And if I know that what I'm going to build and make isn't going to come out right, generally what I do is I will back up and I will I'll make up some other plans, or I'll scrap that project and I'll look for something else. And again, when the Lord Jesus Christ, or when God created the heavens and the earth, He knew that man was going to sin. And He knew that there was going to be someone that was going to have to pay for that sin. And again, before the foundation of the earth was ever established, God planned out the picture of the ark in the Old Testament, and then and already had planned out the Lord Jesus Christ and what He would do to restore man back to his relationship with Christ or with Him. Now, and again, in Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 16, there was only one door to the ark. And again, the Bible tells us here that there was a window set in the side, gave the measurements of it, and it says, "And the door of the ark thou shalt set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make of it." Now again, if who has John chapter 10 and verse number 7? Sister Sandy, if you'll read verse number 7, then jump down to verse number 9, and then go over to 14 and verse number 6.
"Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture."
14:6. Okay, so in the ark, the picture is there was only one door. There was only one way in. And again, the picture in the New Testament with the Lord Jesus Christ, there is only one way to heaven, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, we have religions today that will have knowledge of that, but they will also add to that by adding works to salvation. I was talking to a person this week and was talking to them about the Lord Jesus Christ, and again they affirmed in their mind, yes, I believe that, but also, and they added to their salvation, or what they called faith and trust in Jesus Christ, they added to it their church membership and baptism. And the moment they did that, that made void their faith, because really they were not depending on the Lord Jesus Christ alone as the door to heaven. What they were depending on was their church membership and their baptism. But the Bible makes it very clear that the picture of that in the ark, there was only one door. There was only one way into salvation. And in the New Testament, the only way to salvation, there is only one door, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And even the Bible goes on and tells us that our very best is as filthy rags in the sight of God. And again, you got to think about that when you present your works to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're presenting your filthy rags. So more study with that if you guys want to write these verses down. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 through 6. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 through 6. And then 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 1. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 1. The Lord Jesus Christ is the door. There are no other. Now again, as we go back to the Old Testament and we look at the ark, the Bible tells us here, God gave the provision for light within the ark. One window an opening. A skylight ran all the way around the ark. It ran within 18 inches of the top of the ark. And again, we see that in verse number 16. It says, a window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou fashion it above. Now, again, being the purpose, the purpose of that window was so that they had light in the ark. And I'm sure that with all those animals and everything in there, they also needed some ventilation. But the purpose of it was for light. In the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ is the light. God has given us the provision of light to the world. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. This was prophesied. And who's got Isaiah chapter 9? Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 2. Bryson?
The people that walk in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined.
Okay, now that is the prophecy in Isaiah. And now let's look over at John chapter 1 and verse number 4. John chapter 1. Sister Dolores?
In him was life, and the life was the light of men.
And John chapter 8 and verse number 12. And so in the Old Testament, we had the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ as the light of the world, and the provision of light within the ark. And in the New Testament, what we see is we see that fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world. He's not a light of the world. He is the light of the world. And that's really important, because in some of your modern translations today that are out, they change that word to a light. Which would give us the indication that there is more than one, or there is an alternative to the light. The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And then Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 14, Noah was told to, with some kind of pitch, it was probably a tarry or an asphalt kind of substance, to cover and seal the ark. The Hebrew word for pitch means atonement, which means to cover. And again, we see that in Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 14. He said, make of thee an ark of gopher wood, room shalt thou make in it, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. That is showing us that the water in the ark and the protection on the wood, it was sealed from within and without. Now, in the New Testament, what we see in the Lord Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ covers the sins of the believer, cleansing and sealing the believer before God. If we think about this a little bit, and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ covering our sins, when we get saved and we ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into our heart, the Bible tells us that His blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Now, none of us in here are perfect. None of us in here are without sin. And we still dwell in this flesh, but when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, what happens is His blood covers us within and without, which God, righteous and holy, looks at us. He sees the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, one day when we get to heaven, and we have a glorified body, and as the Bible says, we're changed in the twinkling of an eye. We won't have a problem with sin anymore. But with all that being said, folks, let me help you understand this. Sin isn't something that you can't help. You see, when we get here, a lot of people like to, you know, say, "Well, you know, what can I do? I'm in the flesh, and you know, I sin, so you know, hey, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm just going to go ahead and do what I want to do, because you know, even if I try, I can't." Sin is a choice, I want you all to understand that. But in the picture of the New Testament, the blood of Jesus covers the sins of believers, cleansing and sealing the believer before God. And that's what restores us. And like this morning when I was praying about the service and when I was talking to God, I can come to God directly because I am covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died and he paid for all of my sin. So I'm sealed and I'm covered, just as the picture in the Old Testament with the ark. The ark was covered within and without with pitch to make sure that it was sealed and covered. Now, who's got Romans chapter 5 and verse number 9? Romans chapter 5 and verse number 9. All right, go ahead.
5:9.
Yeah, 5:9. All right, being justified by his blood, and that saves us from the wrath. And could you do verse number 11 as well, 5:11?
And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now have received the atonement.
Right, through who? The Lord Jesus Christ. And again, not anything that we've done, not our works, but the Lord Jesus Christ. If someone would look up 1 John 1:7. 1 John 1:7. Sister Carolyn?
1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin.
Exactly. And again, understanding the blood covering us. And the reason we can have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is not because we are good, it's because of his blood and his blood covering our sins. And again, that's the picture we see of the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament, and we saw it in the ark by the pitch that he used. In Genesis chapter 7 and verse number 1, God himself gave the great invitation to come into the ark. And the Bible says here in Genesis 1, verse number 7, And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteousness before me in this generation. And that's the picture we have in the Old Testament of the ark, that it was God that told Noah to come into the ark. Now in the New Testament with the Lord Jesus Christ, what we see is God himself invites man to come and enter into the ark, the safety and the security of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody could probably quote this this verse, John chapter 3 and verse number 16 and 17. John chapter 3, 16 and 17. Yes. In verse number 17, what's that one tell us? Brother Bob?
For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Right, exactly. That the world through him might be saved. Another good verse to look up is Matthew chapter 22. Somebody look up Matthew chapter 22, verses 2 through 4. Matthew chapter 22, verses 2 through 4. Ah, yes, go ahead. And that being a parable that the Lord Jesus Christ taught in the book of Matthew, and again letting us know is what God does is God invites us to come. Now today, as we think about the invitation and inviting people to come, what command has God given the church? To go into all the world and preach the gospel. Our responsibility is to go and give the invitation of God, and that's what that parable was getting to, is giving the invitation that God has extended to the world. John 3:16, it told us, "For God so loved the world." And again, Jesus Christ did not die for a select group of people. He did not die just for the Jews. He died for the entire world. He died to pay for the sins of the entire world. You know, another good illustration of the invitation of God, and as I think about Jesus Christ dying for the sins of the world, remember the thieves on the cross. The thief on the left mocked and cursed, and the thief on the right said, "Remember me when thou come into the kingdom." You know, and now the thief on the left went and spent eternity in hell. The thief on the right went and spent eternity in heaven because Jesus said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Now the sad part is, the invitation to eternal life was for both of them. Jesus dying on the cross and paying for the sins was for both men. The man on the left, the thief on the left, he got his sins were paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there was an invitation given to him to accept, but his response was, "Nope, I don't want that." But he did receive the invitation. His sins were paid for. And just like in Matthew, that marriage supper that was being done, the meal was prepared. The invitations were given out. The servants went out and let everybody know, "Hey, everything is ready. Everything is prepared. Come on in." And they all made excuses one by one. "Oh, I've got this to do. I've got that to do. You know, not today." And again, it was is rejected, but the invitation was given. God Himself gives the invitation to the world, and as the ark was a picture of safety and security, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is a picture of safety and security. Because I don't have to wake up every morning and wonder, if I died today, am I going to go to heaven? I know that I am, beyond a shadow of a doubt. Not because I was a good person the day before, or not because I'm going to be a good person that day, but based upon what Jesus did for me and His blood sealing me within and without of my salvation. And it's a wonderful picture there. And I'll give you some more verses on that. And again, in the Old Testament, we see Isaiah chapter 1. In verse number 18, if you'll write that down, and you can look it up again a little bit later. And then Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 28. Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 28. And then in Revelations chapter 22 and verse number 17. The first one was Isaiah chapter 1 and verse number 18. And then the ark in Genesis chapter 6 through 18, and again in Genesis chapter 7 and 10 through 24, what we see is the ark was a vessel of refuge, a place of safety and security from the from the judgment above to fall upon the earth. What the ark did for Noah was to deliver him from the judgment of God that was coming. You know, a lot of people, you know, God is grace. God is given opportunity. But what we also got to look at is God is a holy and righteous judge. And he will judge sin. He will judge your sin. Now, you can get your sin judged one of two ways. You can get your sin judged by the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. Or one day you can stand before God and have your sins judged, and you can pay for them in hell for all eternity. The ark provided a safe place. It was a vessel of refuge, a vessel of safety, because judgment is coming. You know, as I think about everything that's going on in America today, church, the only way that we're going to escape judgment that God will place upon America, now that doesn't mean we're not going to go through a storm. That doesn't mean we're not going to have problems, because Noah was in the storm, but God protected him from the storm. And because God will judge sin. The things that are going on here in America, folks, our political leaders and a lot of people, but again, when I say this, folks, it's not everybody. The news likes us to think that the majority is going the direction that our government is going, and the sins of the world with all this silliness that's going on. The news and the television would like us to believe that that is the majority, but I can promise you, folks, it is not the majority. It is a very small group of people, but nevertheless, God will judge it. If he judged it in Noah's day, if he judged it in Lot's day, he is going to judge it today. Now, again, where is our safety? Our safety is in Jesus Christ. Now, we may not necessarily escape the storm, but we will be protected in the storm. And that's what the ark was for Noah. He was protected in the storm. And now, Jesus Christ is the believer's refuge, the believer's safety and security from coming judgment of hell and eternal separation from God. Now, again, going to our salvation, in John 3:16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And again, the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ is our refuge. He is our safety and our security. If someone would look at John chapter 5 and verse number 24, and then if someone else would find Romans chapter 5 and verse number 9 and 10. John 5, 24, and then Romans chapter 5 and 9 through 10. All right, Sister Sandy.
"Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life."
Exactly. Our security and safety. And again, the key words in there were at the top of the verse: "He that heareth my word," and what was the rest of it?
"Believeth on him."
And believeth. You know, there's a lot of people that hear. There's a lot of people that know, but about 18 inches, they miss it. Because they hear and they know, but they choose not to believe. And so Romans chapter 5, Who's got that one? Cleo? Exactly. And we through the Lord Jesus Christ and our belief of what he did on the cross gives us that place of security and that place of safety from the judgment to come. And again, there will be a day when the Lord Jesus Christ, as I've said before, and it will be what we call the great white throne judgment, is when, if you're standing before Jesus Christ at the great white throne judgment, you will hear, "Depart from me, you cursed, I never knew you." The difference for the believer is we will be standing with Christ at the great white throne judgment. We'll be standing behind him. We'll be standing at his side because of our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Those who are standing before are those who have heard and rejected, and they're not safe, but we will be safe, and we'll be safe and secure. In Genesis chapter 7 and verse number 1, God called Noah to separate from the world and from its wickedness and evil and doom by entering into the ark. And our picture in the New Testament is God calls people to live a life of separation from evil through Christ. Somebody look up for me 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17. Sandy? Okay, very, very good verse. If any man be in Christ, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 14 through 15, who's got that one? Next chapter over, 14 through 15. Chapter 6, verses 14 to 15. All right, Sister Lisa?
14 and 15.
Yeah, 6, 14 and 15.
Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with
Belial?
Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel?
Exactly. And what the scripture is telling us there and challenging us is now we apply this to married couples. I would challenge you if for those of you who are not married which are not a whole lot of you, be careful on who you select and pick. If you are a saved, born-again Christian, you have no business dating or even thinking about marrying an unbeliever. First of all, God said don't do it. Secondly, why would you want to do that? Because again, you're setting up a marriage for failure. Because a Christian is going one direction, a lost person is going another direction, and you will never walk in unity. And again, the Bible calls us out, Christians. Now, when I talk about having a friend, we ought to have friends with fellow Christians and believers. I want to caution you about having more unsafe friends than you do saved friends, because your unsafe friends are going to cause you to do wrong things, and they're going to take you a wrong direction. And when you're with godly friends, they're going to help you go the right direction. And again, now I'm not saying don't be friendly to the world. Don't be don't be unfriendly to someone who is lost. Because again, that might be your way of witnessing to them. But again, we as Christians should be living separate. We should have there should be identifying marks in our life that mark us as a Christian versus a non-believer. And when there is no difference between you and the world, the things that you do and what the world does, well, there's a problem there. Now, again, I'm not saying you're unsaved, but the Bible calls us out to be separated. And what happened is Jesus Christ calls us out to live a separated life from the unbeliever. And then that clock back there goes so fast. The ark in Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 18, again in Genesis 7 verse 1, and then verse 7, and then verse number 13 and 23, the ark was the salvation of both Noah and his family. What we see in the New Testament, if someone would look up Acts chapter 16, verse number 30 through 31, Jesus is the hope of salvation for all families. Jesus is the hope of salvation for all families. Acts chapter 16, verses 30 through 31. Brother Bob? And thine house. Okay, now, does that automatically mean that because your parents are saved, that the children will be saved? No, that doesn't mean that. Because there are religions that teach that. If your family is in this certain religion and you're born into this family, then you're automatically in. Well, no, that's not what we're talking about here. But someone who is truly born again, someone who is living a separated life for the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a good chance that your children will follow and be saved as well. When a so salvation in the ark, the ark was not only salvation for Noah, but it was also salvation for his family. Mom and dad, the best way for your children to know about the Lord Jesus Christ is for you to teach them about the Lord Jesus Christ. I praise the Lord. I had the opportunity with both of my children when they were infants in the nursery at the hospital. I held them in my arm in the rocking chair. I rocked back and forth, and I told them about the Lord Jesus Christ. You might say, well, they didn't understand a word you said. Well, they may not have, but I had many, 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 many other opportunities beside that. And I gave them the gospel over and over and over again. I told them about the Lord Jesus Christ over and over and over and over again. And praise the Lord, both of my children are saved and born again and serving the Lord. And I thank the Lord for that. Well, why was it? Did that happen by accident? No. It happened with plan. That's why the Bible says that we should train up a child in the way that they should go. And what that means is, parents, you point your children in the way that they should go. Now, they may not want to go that way, but you are the parent, and you point them in that direction. Now, obviously, you can't make them accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, but while they're in your home and while they're in your household, you can certainly insist that they go to church, that they they sit down with you and you have a time in the Word of God, and you train them by word and by deed on which direction they'll go. Now, again, it is their choice, but your chances are far greater if you're training your child in that direction. And so the ark salvation for not only Noah, but it was also for his family. And folks, Jesus Christ is the hope of salvation for all families, and especially today. Folks, they're not going to get it from the television. They're not going to get it from the school. And if you're not teaching them, and if you're not in instilling that in their life, they're going to miss it. And so I'm going to go ahead and stop there, because that clock just keeps moving a lot quicker. And so it's just a wonderful picture. The ark is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And I thank the Lord for that. The ark offered a lot for Noah, helped them see what the Lord Jesus Christ or what would happen in the New Testament. And so let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll get back here in about 8 minutes. Okay, Father in heaven, we come to you in prayer. We thank you for our time here in Sunday school. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, as we see your word, Lord, as we see the great wonderful picture of the ark. And Lord, I thank you for what you did for Noah. And Lord, I thank you for having grace and mercy upon him. And Lord, I thank you for having grace and mercy on me. And Lord, I thank you for my salvation. Lord, I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for all that you have done for us. And Father, I pray now that you'd bless in our next hour and help our program to go well. And Lord, I pray that there be anybody that comes and is among us that's not saved. I pray that today would be the day they would accept you as their Savior. And we ask all these things in your name. Amen.